Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You are listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this afternoon. How are you, Keith?
I'm very well, Alan. And yourself? Are you well?
I'm all right. I'm good.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you look well. You look well.
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you do. I mean, look, you could say the same to me, couldn't you? You could say
well,
you look
I can barely
well,
see you as usual.
Oh.
I don't know how you function in a kind of half light, like a sort of a bat. How do you operate in that place? How do you recognise one another in the gloom?
Oh, we have our ways. We've just got powerful eyesight in Walthamstow.
Powerful eyesight, what powerful odour.
Well, I am known for my musk.
Damien Harris is here.
Hey.
ID, unmistakable. As the glare leaps off your paint
yes,
through
yes.
my...
Hello.
Screen. Keith, did you know? I've never noticed Keith's mask. Have you ever?
Well, it's.
Why has that just come up now?
I don't like to talk about it. It's the great smell of brute.
Yes.
Great smell of brute.
Old Spice me. That's I'm an old Spice man.
Now, gentlemen, it's Sunday afternoon. It's 10 to 5 on Sunday afternoon. I've got West Ham. It's West Ham 0, Liverpool 0 at the moment. I've just watched a bit of Leeds beating Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. But Arsenal had a nil-nil yesterday against Manchester United.
Mm.
And so, not much to say. So, should we just wrap it up?
Yeah, okay. It was a good podcast. I enjoyed it.
It was good fun. You. Lovely to see you.
Yeah.
All the best.
Teddy Sheringham stories?
Got a couple of Teddy stories
right,
for later. Yeah, stay tuned. Despite my attempt to knock it on the head last week, they have again flooded in. A couple more Teddy stories and a quiz later.
Just encouraged
well, yeah.
them, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Or people thought, I must get them in.
Could we get Teddy on the podcast? I feel
God,
we need
no.
to let's break bread with him. Come on.
No twats rule. I don't know how you slipped through, isn't it?
He might have.
Brutal.
This is the people we have to deal with. But he might have an alternative view to some of these allegations. And they are only allegations to these
no,
people.
He wouldn't. He'd call us all wankers and then he'd leave in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I respect
running over a couple of orphans.
You're right. I think we yeah. should ask him on. That might be worth having on. Arsenal drew 0-0 yesterday. We had a slight disappointment that we couldn't field our best player, Bukayo Saka, or Kieran Tierney, or Aubameyang, who's just run into form in those. So, in the end, we nearly scored a couple of times, didn't we? But then Cavani missed an absolute sitter from 5 yards. I don't know how he missed it. And perhaps we were all right with a point, do you think?
It felt like one game too far, to be honest. It felt like everyone was a bit knackered. All this weekend has felt like
I
it's
certainly
all catching
knackered.
Up.
I mean, yeah. I am absolutely sick of these matches. You know, we're playing again Tuesday.
I know.
And then we're playing again. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
I think there were some pluses. I mean, well, there's one thing I couldn't understand. Lacazette hits the crossbar. That didn't go in, I don't know. And then we have a free
it's
kick.
It's too high.
It was too high. But why do we let Cedric take it? Why do we let Zorro? Hang on, Lacazette hits the bar. Surely he's the man to take the free kick, not Zorro.
It's the element of surprise. Well, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. So, but that's what they had done, because everything pointed to Granit walloping it, didn't it? With the lacquer free kick. So maybe it was a bit of element of disguise. No, they're not going to let Zorro take this. Yeah. Thought David De Gea, and they did.
Yeah. Does it really matter, though? You know, what's the element of surprise about somebody not taking the free kick? You know, surely you just let your best free kick expert take it, you know? And we haven't got that many, so... I don't know.
Maybe he's pinging him in the top corner in training every day.
We kept a clean sheet. Leno made a fantastic save, so there was a few pluses there, and even William...
Centre-backs were good. Rob Holding's superb at the moment, isn't he? Didn't put a foot wrong all game. Heads everything away. Heads all the corners away. Completes all his passes. Doesn't get caught out of position. Doesn't get on the wrong side of people. And he's really maturing into an excellent centre-back this season. And Luiz had a good game against Cavani. That was quite interesting. There was a little bit of footage of them. Somebody was down getting treatment and they cut some footage of Cavani and Luiz having a chat, a sort of socially distanced chat. And it didn't look like they were mates. I mean, they played together for 2 years at PSG. It was 5 years ago that he left and he went back to Chelsea, I think, didn't he? But he definitely knew his way around Cavani. And when he's focused, Luiz, he's really good, isn't he? I mean, it seemed like having Cavani there, having his former teammate there, who was very elusive, clever, slippery striker, really focused his mind, and he plays very, very well. He seems to switch off and make errors sometimes when he's not really... concentrating. It is just concentration, I think.
Well, he actually said that in the post-match interview, which I thought was very, very good. And, you know, Luis has driven me mad many times, but I thought he gave a good interview. And he did say...
What did he say?
Well, he was actually saying, you know, the team needs to be more focused, we need to be more focused and concentrate on each game as it comes, a usual thing. But I thought he just come across really well. And a man who's determined, you know, to win. And I thought, well, this is what I want to hear from Arsenal players. It wasn't, you know, he just seemed, there was a bit of steel in his voice. And I liked it. He had character. And I just thought, you know.
And he was given man of the match. So, you know, two thumbs up for Luiz this weekend.
Very much so.
Who knows, he'll turn up on Tuesday.
I think the top four is still there. I mean, it's...
Do you?
Yeah, I think it is. Really? Listen, because the other teams above us are dropping points. Leicester dropped points today. I think if we can carry on, we've got Liverpool at home, right? We've got Manchester City to play at home. There's points there. If we're on our game, we could creep up there. There's still, 18 matches to go? 17?
Well, their last seven games, we've won five and drawn two. I'm talking about Premier League games.
Mm.
Previous seven Premier League games, we'd lost five and drawn two. So it's a very, it's a substantial turnaround in fortunes. But I really do think that the next seven is massive. It really, if we continue to, as you say, if we continue winning, but we really do have to, if we are ambitious to go up as far as those top four or six places, because at the moment we're still, despite five wins out of seven, we're still 10th.
Yeah.
We're still sitting in mid-table.
It's just going to be one of those seasons, I think. Everyone's going to have a dip. Everyone's going to have some bad luck. Everyone's going to be knackered. No one had a pre-season.
Well, we played two matches this week against two of the teams that beat us at home earlier in the season, Wolves and Villa. We got Wolves and Villa away. Mm. In the space of a
few
days.
Return to the Midlands.
It is, and I mean, this is it, right? Every week now, it feels like there's really important points up for grabs because Villa are above us. They look good. They've got good players playing well. The goalkeeper's brilliant. Wolves are a bit in and out, aren't they? They don't score a lot of goals anyway. And now, especially since Luiz headbutted their centre forward, they really are struggling for goals. So 6 points would be massive. Two defeats would really knock us back. I don't really know how it's going to go. We are defending well, and Partey, I think, helps in that.
Yeah.
It's very disciplined in midfield, but it's very misfiring, the forward line. And it really just, how many times is Pepe going to cut in from the right and kick it out of play? He's like a sort of bandy leg Theo Walcott who can't speak English.
It was frustrating. I thought he was going to score.
Stop kicking it out of play. Oh, he's cut in on his left. Oh, he's kicked it out of play. Hit the boxy target. It's massive, that goal. Hit the target. Just hit it hard, aim for the far post. It shapes like he's going to bend it. It doesn't bend. It just goes wide. Does he not practice that? Hit a target with one of them, mate.
I thought he was better.
I'm going with Damien on this one. I think his
tackling back as well. I thought defensively we all did, even Willian.
Yes.
Sort of did his bit. Martinelli coming off, was that tactical or was he injured, do you think?
I assumed he was injured again.
Yeah, that was my
I couldn't see any reason to take him off on what he'd done in the first half.
No.
There's no news on that. I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, Willian did okay, didn't he? But again, it's all very well looking all right in the middle of the pitch, but you've got to get some shots off. You've got to get some passes into the penalty area to our strikers. You've got to have assists, create chances, get shots on target, be an attacking midfielder with a goal threat. And it's as if he's forgotten that part of his game completely. When he had a chance, he totally fluffed his lines, didn't he? Controlled it poorly, feeble finish. You wanted to take a touch and leather that and score. That's a goal. I was sitting there when he came on, I was thinking, what I want here is a Willian goal and a 1-0 win. That would be the best outcome for Arsenal in this match because that guy needs a lift. And there was the chance, absolute gilt-edged chance. You feel like Willian in a blue shirt slams that in off the underside of the bar or something spectacular, and he totally fluffed it. It's killing me at the moment. I don't know what the answer is. I do know what the answer is. Bukayo Saka, that is what the answer is.
Yes.
Now, gentlemen, I'm sure you will agree that investing is one of the best ways to grow wealth over the long term. However, high commissions and clunky products from traditional stockbrokers can make it complicated for people to start. Meanwhile, trillion-dollar companies get built, but very few people benefit. Free Trade is on a mission to change that by breaking down these barriers and by opening up stock investing to everyone. Other brokers will charge up to £12 for every trade. Free Trade doesn't charge any commission. You can invest and keep more of your profits. The award-winning investment app is used by over 300,000 people. It is FCA authorized and FSCS protected. You can buy and sell stocks and investment trusts all without commissions. And Free Trade has been the winner of the British Bank Awards 2019 and 2020 for best online trading platform. The intuitive design makes investing simple for any experience level, beginners and experts alike. I'm looking at my screen at two absolute beginners. You can start investing from just £2. There are no speculative products. They don't do day trading. It's all long-term investing with a transparent pricing model. You can have a general investment account or stocks and shares, ISA, and there is going to be a self-invested personal pension launched soon. When you invest, your capital is at risk. The value of investments can go up as well as down. You may receive back less than your original investment. So go to freetrade.io/Tuesday. If you register and fund your account, you will get a randomly allocated free share. Ooh. Not in the Arsenal. No. Worth between £3 and £200. It might be Greg's, it might be Rightmove, it might be Apple, who knows what it'll be. But there you are. That is Free Trade. For more information, visit freetrade.io.
Wow.
There you go.
And if I had 2 8-nies to rub together, I would invest in that.
I think they do a 2 8-nies account.
It's the Keith Dover 2 8-nies
account. I'll mention that hopefully we'll build a fruitful long-term relationship with Free Trade.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Before our time with them is over, we will have opened up the 2 8-nies account.
Scott McTominay.
Yep.
Tominay. He had the shits. That's quite funny.
He really
that was entertaining.
But who lies down when they've got the shits? Don't lie down. If you've got the shits, you don't lie on your back, do you? When they stop the play, you just leg it to the bog, don't you? What's it? Is he lying down and talking to the physio? I think I've got the shits. Piss off to the toilet. What are you doing? Lying around. That is not going to help. Now, what I really want to be, I want one of those 5 million views YouTube things yeah. where I shit my pants at the Emirates.
Oh, have God. You got a bedpan in there? Magic sponge, bedpan. Yeah.
Was it Lineker who shat
himself?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a game once where Zidane threw up? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was against England.
It was, wasn't it?
Is I that think the one it was where, a penalty.
Wasn't it the one where we were 2-0 up and they pulled it back?
We were a goal up.
A goal
and
up.
It was in Lisbon. I went to it. It was in Lisbon in the Euros 2004. And we were a goal up coming right at the end of the game. And Zidane whipped in a free kick from 20 yards. And then we got a pen. I think Henri won the pen. And he put his hands on his knees and vomited in the D. And then without batting an eyelid, ran up, smashed it in the net and won the game for him. Extraordinary.
You would think before a match that you might have a few things to check. You know, one, do I need to vomit? Two, do I need to have a crap? Yeah, have I got the shit? That's not something that just comes on during a game, does it? Who's ever played a game of football and suddenly gone, oh, hello, I've got a touch of diarrhoea. In fact, I'm actually really riddled with diarrhoea now. You just don't, do you?
You even know. Can you be riddled with diarrhoea?
Oh, I have been in the past.
Oh, have you?
That's what your musk is.
Let's move on.
Let's move on, then.
Do you think Bruno Fernandes should have been sent off for the challenge on Granit Xhaka?
Yes. Oh, yes.
He's a knob.
That was filth, wasn't it? Absolute filth.
I really got to dislike him. He's up there. Because it was funny, whoever was commentated mentioned Van Nistelrooy. Probably my most hated ever Man United player.
Or human, just general.
Just general human. But Bruno Fernandes is getting close. He's a whiny little...
But I thought that was reminiscent of the Van Nistelrooy challenge on Ashley Cole at Old Trafford all those years ago.
Yeah.
That for which he got a retrospective 3-game ban, but I can't see that happening this time. I feel like he's got away with it.
Are we talking about the rake down the back of his head?
Down the Achilles. Accident, that. Very deliberate.
Exactly. I mean, you know what you're doing there. So he didn't even get yellow, did he, for that one?
No. They looked at it.
That's typical, isn't it?
Yeah. Bloody VAR, Keith?
Unbelievable. Oh, that is typical.
The VAR is so suspect. I mean, did you see the Southampton disallowed goal?
It's ridiculous. He's level.
It's just level.
There must be some sort of they should have had a pen and a goal, Southampton.
Yeah.
Cash blocked it with his arm. I mean, he leant over and blocked it with his arm. If he tried to block it with his leg, but he had his arm there as a backup, that's a pen. And the Ings goal is level.
Yeah.
I just don't see how you can still be saying, oh, it's a few centimetres or a few millimetres. No, you've got to have some sort of leeway of half a metre or something.
Yeah.
Ings is looking at the defender in front of him. He's no fool. He's been doing this all his life. He knows he's onside. He knows there's going to be a rebound, or there might be, and he knows to stay onside, and he's onside. It's a goal.
Oh, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how those guys can sit there and disallow a perfectly good goal like that, really.
It's a joke. Well, they like their machine, didn't they?
It was Mike Dean.
The VAR man?
He was. You could feel the bitterness in him and just wanting to make everyone miserable. Because he's
Do you think he wears full kit?
I hope so.
No, he wears his ref's kit when he's there doing the VAR.
No, yeah. I reckon they're dressed as vampires because they're heartless bastards, aren't they? That's all they are. I bet there's nothing but 5-6 coffins lined up and then they lids open up and they get out to review the goal. You know,
Have you watched What We Do in the Shadows? The energy vampire. He's a bit canonly like him, isn't he?
Oh, I imagined him in a kind of 70s flared suit. Like big flared trousers and big wide lapels.
Looking like Frank Boff.
Just dressing like he dresses at home. But quite bright colours, like a weekend version. Some purple and yellow. All right, mate. I'm here for the VAR. Are you? Have you come straight from... Yeah, I've been out all night. Are you confident with the machinery? I'm just going to disallow everything. Oh, all right.
Yeah. Wait, just show us where the disallow button is.
I used to play cricket for a laugh about in the 90s. Someone would have to umpire. No one wanted to do it. I never did it. But the general, as a general rule, you weren't allowed to give LBWs, right? Because the consensus was no one had a clue what the LBW rule was. And it would be wrong to give anyone out on that basis. And so on that basis, I don't think, unless it's absolutely definitely off, don't give it off. Just say it's a goal. Unless he's clearly off, which he wasn't, he was level, don't disallow a goal for that. That's a general rule. It'd be better off just having a couple of people, a couple of fans, rather than someone who did it very seriously, wants to get it to within a millimetre correct. It's absolute bollocks.
Yeah. When I used to... Philip, my brother, used to occasionally make me umpire for the Neptune, and that was hell. So one time, my brother Stephen, who is a very good fast bowler, he got one wicket. I was umpiring. Second wicket, he got next ball, got another wicket, and the batsman said to me, "That was a no ball. He was over the line." And I went, "No, he wasn't." I hadn't even looked.
No, didn't. Third one,
he's on a hat trick. I look, he is way over the line. He gets the wicket. Hey, I've got a hat trick, his first ever one. And I have to give it no ball.
You no balled him.
Oh!
You no balled your own brother. Stop getting a hat trick.
Oh, I bet it's psychological damage there straight.
Imagine what Mike Dean would do to his brother.
I wouldn't even let him
out. Burst in on his wedding night and give him a red card. Stop that.
off.
Stop that.
Get off.
Yeah. You haven't put your credit card in at reception for extras.
I gave Philip out, run out. Philip's my other brother.
I'm surprised you've got any family left if you keep having this time.
Well, they don't speak to me.
But Philip was a right stickler for making sure you clapped everyone in, loved making sure we sort of stuck to the rules.
People are bastards about the etiquette, aren't they?
Yeah, the etiquette of cricket. And
people could be real shits about being polite.
he was very good at it. And, I had to give him out, run out, sort of, I think the second ball he faced. And he just turned and said, "You didn't, weren't even fucking looking," like that, in the middle of the cricket pitch.
Wow! Yes. So you've no-balled one brother, and you've given your other brother out, run out.
Yeah.
And they asked you to umpire again.
I was the only one that would do it.
They're better. They'd be better off having a whip round and getting a proper umpire.
Exactly. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Anyway,
why weren't you playing cricket, D? I mean, why weren't you the youth policy for the side? The Neptune being a rugby old pub team, let's face it.
You can't imagine
it was like David Gower et al.
A waft down the leg side. I wasn't good enough.
No?
I did try. I was a good wicket keeper, actually. I found my thing as a wicket keeper later on, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, if you stand up, everything will hit you, won't it?
I tell you, Damien, if you ever get murdered, your family are going to be on the suspect list, aren't they? I mean, Poirot be going, and you,
Poirot will not be, he is fictional.
Oh, you say that.
Here, mate, if you ever get murdered...
You're going to tell me Jonathan Creakle wasn't real aren't you?
I'll solve it, don't you worry. As long as you're locked in a cupboard and in some impossible circumstances.
Yeah. I refereed a works match once and I gave a goal to our team, which was blatantly offside, which was could have been suicide, really, being that, you know, there was a lot of airy-arsed assembly line workers about to kill me.
This is in the Dagenham Fall Plant Works League.
Works League, yeah.
How come you were reffing when your own team were playing?
Well, if you haven't got a linesman that day, you know, you just jump in.
Oh, and you knew it was off and you gave it.
Absolutely. We needed the points.
Oh, no. Unbelievable. You're lucky you didn't die in a terrible assembly line accident.
I'm surprised, yes.
Well, the baby Jesus saw it, Keith, so he knows. So come Judgment Day.
The baby Jesus had been made redundant the year before.
I'm glad you mentioned the baby Jesus, because Linda is recovering from a hip operation.
Oh, yeah.
So she's been walking around on crutches, and I keep going, throw those crutches away and walk to the Lord. It's safe now, Lee. You can walk, which doesn't go down very well.
Yeah, there's nothing like spoofing an evangelical Christian in the face of extreme pain.
But it's been like 40 towers around here, because I have to do everything for her. And it's like, when you've climbed the stairs 28 times that day, it's like, yes, I'm getting it now. Will you just let me have 2 minutes, please?
You're saying she's like Sybil Fawlty?
Oh,
has she got a bell?
Fucking yes, that was a mistake.
She's got a bell.
She's got a bell. She has.
Around her neck or in her hand?
No, in her hand. Fucking bell.
On the end of her crutch.
And the capacity to drink so much peppermint tea, I should have got an urn. I'm constantly making peppermint tea. She never gives me a chance to get it. Can you get me this? Yes, I'm on the way.
Yeah,
and then, come back. Can you get me that?
We should definitely have wrapped this podcast up after 30 seconds. There really isn't anything to talk about this week.
Uncle Flirt.
Tedious goalish draw and mid-table clash. Martin Ødegaard did get on.
He did get on.
He got on, had a couple of touches, did a lot of pointing. He knows where the ball should be.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas used to do a lot of pointing. Pass it over there. Well, why don't you do it?
Yeah.
But it didn't really show much. Couldn't really tell if he's any good or not based on that.
He barely touched the ball, really, did he? So,
I think the consensus is it's a good buy, though. Well, alone, let's not say. I think it's a good move. You don't think getting him in is a good...
I've no idea, mate. I just thought it's just another... signing, coming and getting in the way of our homegrown young players who I feel gradually being kind of edged out the door. I can't really see how Nelson and Willock and Maitland-Niles are going to stick around, never getting picked or being left as unused subs.
Mm.
I feel like I remember when we had when we had that famous bunch came through, Merson, Rocastle, Thomas, Adams, all that. There were a whole load of them at one point, and then gradually Martin Hayes or Niall Quinn left and Rocky left and Michael Thomas left. You ended up really was just Keown left and came back, Stuart Robson left, and you ended up with only Adams and Mercer. And you sort of think, is it going to be Smith Rowe and Saka and the others are going to gradually be replaced by loan signings from Real Madrid?
Well, I don't want to be replaced, but maybe it's a backup thing. Maybe he's looking at Smith Rowe and thinking, well, he's good, but he may need to be rested at some point. I mean, they youngsters who sometimes hit a wall. So
I think he's looked a little bit tired. I think he looked a little bit tired last night. And he
runs about a lot, doesn't he? He tends to fade in the last 15 minutes.
And Arteta said that, you know, he can see them playing together. That it's not necessarily, you know, I'm being optimistic at the moment. Think that, you know, they will help each other.
Mm.
Let's go for that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's right. But I do feel like, so the window shuts tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, listener, the window has shut. So you'll know whether Maitland-Niles has been loaned out or Willock's been loaned out. There are people sniffing about who want these lads.
I would be all right with that.
No, I'm with Damien on this.
Yeah, you'd be all right with them going out. Is Ceballos injured?
Yes.
Well, I mean, talking about Odegaard, I mean, they're saying Zidane throws him out there, and that's one of the big... That's why they're on Zidane's back, because they're like us. They've got a great crop of youngsters, which he hasn't been playing. And I don't know if you know that Real Madrid got knocked out of their cup by a third division team in Spain, which they say play on
Neptune, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. El Neptune.
It's like us getting beaten by Dagenham Redbridge or something like even worse than that. They said they played on a council pitch. And Zidane is keeping faith with all their old players and, you know, not letting the youngsters in. So I think maybe this guy's got something to prove. I think he could be a good loan move for us.
Yeah, I hope so.
And we've got a lot of games in Europe coming up, so we're going to need them for that.
Any news on where we're playing Benfica? It doesn't sound like it's going to be a one-off game on a neutral ground at the moment.
Well, when
it?
They say neutral ground, I mean neutral country. I mean, it's a Swiss...
Yeah, because usually Switzerland,
Switzerland.
Switzerland. I don't know where they'll play. We're not allowed to go anywhere from here, are we?
The Cayman Islands?
The Cayman Islands,
They've got quite loose...
Ascension Island. It feels, yeah. I mean, we're some stadium between London and Lisbon. Well, there are many in France and Spain, but...
Yeah.
Are they allowed to let people in to France and Spain to have a game of football that's nothing to do with either country? I don't know how they're going to get around it. This was always going to be a problem with European football, wasn't it? Well, it's the week after next, I think. I can't remember exactly when it is. But it's coming up. It's the middle of Feb. It was two legs, but if they do it like this, it'll be a one-off knockout by the sound of it.
I think that's probably the way it'll go, because the problem is if we go to Benfica, then we've got to self-isolate for 10 days. I'm assuming because Portugal's on the red list, they can't come to us, so it's very confusing.
Well, I think that's exactly what's going on, yeah, and they're trying to sort out a one-off knockout. I'm looking in my calendar for
18th. 18th of February, first one.
And then the following week, is it? We're supposed to have them at home.
Well, why don't we play one leg, but for 180 minutes?
Good idea.
There you go. You see, this is why I should
there
be
you
here.
Go.
Just Good so, idea. So you could get the
or
two
just
legs.
Have one game in the morning, one game in the afternoon.
Yeah, we could do that one, yeah.
Do it like that.
Yeah. Well, that ain't such a shabby idea, is it, when you think about it? One game in the morning.
It's a terrible idea.
What? Oh, it's a great idea.
Absolutely pointless. Ludicrous.
What?
What we should do is they should just have a darts match. Online darts.
Or a quiz, maybe.
They're in negotiations. Now, last week I said, that's it. That's enough of the Teddy Sheringham stories. It's time to draw a line under it. But a couple more have flooded in, so I'll read them out.
Do a couple more flooding?
Yeah, is that a flood?
Actually, this one dates back to October. So, I must have missed this one, unless I'm reading it out again, in which case it's
could,
free.
Could we, could we state now that Teddy does have the right to reply? I mean, you know, if there's any friends of Teddy out there, which is a stab in the dark.
He hasn't got any friends.
Yeah.
Not the way he behaves. No, there's no platform.
No platform.
For ex-Tottenham players on this podcast, under any circumstances. I don't know what you're talking about. He can reply to you if you like. You can talk him down off a ledge. He'll do is he'll call you a wanker and drive off in a sports car. But that, frankly, that would be something you'll treasure. You'll carry with that the rest of your life.
Oh, I thought you meant he'd call me a wanker as he's jumping off the building. Wanker!
Well, he might do that. Daniel Green sent this. I enjoy the podcast, especially the slander of Teddy Sheringham. Now, it's important to stay at this point, though. I don't think we're slandering Teddy Sheringham. What I'm doing is I'm reading out first-hand accounts of the behaviour of Teddy Sheringham for comic effect.
Yeah.
Did our legal department make it?
We haven't got a legal department.
Have we not?
When this goes off air, you'll know what's happened.
I think we should have a legal department.
Daniel Green says, I used to play Sunday League and I must have been around 10 or 11 when Teddy's son, Charlie, came for a trial with my team in pre-season. We had a friendly game. We turned up to do our warm-up and all of us kids were gathered around our manager and he said, do a couple of laps of the pitch to get our legs going. Old school. Old school warm-up. No stretching. We ran down the touchline and we approached the solitary figure of Teddy Sheringham. As we got closer, he thought we were running down to meet him. He got a marker pen out, ready to give autographs. And we ran past him. And the look of dejection on his face still makes me laugh. Later in the game, his boy scored a classic six-yard box tap-in and he exploded on the side of the pitch. Effing get in! Teddy sent Charlie to private school, Bancrofts. And I'd like to pause this story here to say that that is where I went to school, Bancrofts. A horrible minor public school in Woodford. And that Teddy Sheringham was born, I have learned, 1 month after me, about a mile away from where I was born. So I feel like we're living parallel lives in which he has played football to the highest possible level and made a fortune, and I've played a sleuth in a duffel coat. Teddy sent Charlie to Bancrofts, and his school played mine later that year. Charlie turned up as a mini Beckham clone, dyed blonde curtains. This was 1998. Before the game kicked off, Teddy ran on and gave Charlie a gum shield.
A proper
chunky boxing gum shield. The game was nearing half-time and I stuck in a crunching tackle on his boy. Teddy stormed onto the pitch, carried his son off and shouted in the face of the referee that he wasn't letting his son play with thugs. Proper knob. I always like the sign-off.
Yeah.
People always have a little sign-off insult. Yeah. And this one reads, proper knob.
Yeah.
Oh, and then little PS, when I was around 20, some of my mates worked behind the bar in 195 Epping. Teddy was there all the time with Danielle Lloyd, and there was a small VIP area. I used to get in there as they would get me and my mates a table while they worked behind the VIP bar. He was getting all the fancy champagne out. The bill for his table came to almost $2,000. At the end of the night, he settled the bill, and on the little silver tray they presented the receipt, he left a tip of 50p.
What? Oh.
50p tip he left.
50? That's terrible.
And he's gonna another sign-off on the PS. What a knob.
Double what a knob.
Keep up the good work, and God bless Bob Wilson. Quite right, Daniel. And to speak of the Daniels, Daniel Maguire, who sent us quizzes, if you remember, he's sent us another quiz that he's made up himself.
He did have a couple
of quizzes from a quiz book that he got from about 20-year-old quiz book. But in what he's done on this occasion, because he's enjoyed doing quizzes, he's done a 10-question Arsenal quiz himself. So jump in if you know the answer. And we'll see who wins. Here we go. Question one. Who did Bertie Mee make the club captain when he was appointed manager in 1966? Boom. Back of the net, Dover. What a finish.
I hadn't even finished my stretching.
You do have to wait for the question to finish.
Sorry. Just...
before you shoot. But I'll let you off. Let you off there.
I thought you might jump in.
Question two. Which French club was Robert Pires signed from?
Marseille.
Equaliser. Harris, 1-1. But was it a no ball?
Oh, their fans, their fans kicked off this week, didn't they? Marseille fans, didn't they?
The Marseille fans invaded the training ground with smoke bombs.
You've got to admire that.
Tell you what, I mean, I do admire that.
They like a protest, the French, don't they?
I mean, really.
300 of them.
Yeah, turn up and smash the crap out of it, terrified them all. Which I'm sure will help them in their next fixture.
Yes. Focus their minds.
This one, who scored the goal in the dying seconds of the 1979 FA Cup final against
Alan Sunderland.
Oh, Dover's in 2-1. Who were the opposition when a record 73,295 turned up for a league match at Highbury in 1935?
Dynamo Moscow.
No.
Oh.
Huddersfield.
No.
No.
Chelsea.
No.
France.
No.
Oh, no, and it's a foreign... I don't know if it's a country.
Record attendance at Highbury. Who was playing? Who was playing? It's 1935.
All right. It weren't Sunderland.
It was?
Yes. Sunderland, yeah.
And that attendance record was broken when we played at Wembley in the Champions League. I think we had a higher attendance against somebody like Lens of France or something like that.
Yeah.
So now, what's the score?
3-1.
3-1 to Doze. He knows.
He said
score.
A bit too confident.
Question five. Which brothers played for Arsenal in the 30s?
Comptons.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Very good. Yeah.
He's got it. Does he know their first names, though?
Dennis and Brian.
No.
No, it's Dennis and.
Dennis Compton and.
Is it Michael?
I'm going to have to get a ticking clock sound. Begins with L.
Larry? Larry Compton.
Lorraine.
Liam? Leonard.
Lisa. No. Leslie Compton.
Leslie Compton.
Let's give you the point, though, for Comptons. It's 3-2, halfway, half-time oranges.
Okay.
Okay. The next questions are all a bit more. Well, actually, they're not. Question six. Name the Arsenal player from their first five clubs that they played for. Oh, he set these questions himself, Daniel. Yeah, I like this one. Okay, jump in if you can name the Arsenal player. He started at Sparta Rotterdam. Then he played Vitesse Arnhem. Then he played for Arsenal. Then he played for Benfica on loan. And then he played for NAC Breda.
Oh, it wasn't that guy. George Graham got him. The guy who had a gambling. It wasn't you.
Said everything but his name.
I know him.
Oh, I know who he is as well.
What's that guy?
He had the gambling problem, didn't he?
The gambling guy that George signed.
And the mafia were after him. The Dutch mafia.
He provided the cross for Dennis Bergkamp's first ever Arsenal goal.
Oh, really?
Beautiful dink over from the left that Dennis volleyed into the clock end.
Was he still at the club then? Christ, that's...
Yeah, he's still at the club.
This is when do I cheat?
Don't cheat. Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. Here's the clue. Hoddle.
Oh, Glenn Helder.
Dover's in.
I got a point each. I got Glenn, he got Helder.
Glenn Helder. He got Glenn, he got Helder. Oh, the referees. It's gone to Mike Dean at VAR. He's wearing a massive, luminous blue wig. He's off his nut. He's listening to Grooves in the Heart by D-Light. How can he possibly save Danny Ings' honour off? He's having a snake bite and black the geezer. All right, I'm giving you half a point each.
Okay.
What's that make the score then? 3.5 to 2.5.
Yeah, I think it is.
In the 2017-18 season, Arsenal were knocked out of the FA Cup in the third round. As the holders, it was a disappointment.
Watford.
Nottingham Forest.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it was, yes.
So the scores are level. Number 8, which Arsenal player had the nickname the Little Mozart?
Thomas Rosicky.
Oh, my goodness. Dover got there.
What?
No,
Thomas Rosicky.
I said
Thomas
Rosicky.
Mike Dean. Call Mike Dean. I said, I'm Thomas
Rosicky. Hang on, what about our sound, man? He's got...
Call Mike Dean. Mike Dean's getting chips from the all-night van. Someone's taking a piss out of his flares. There's a couple of yobbos in jackets throwing chips at him. Hang on a minute, he's got a can of Tango.
I've definitely got that one. Definitely got that one.
All right, half a point each.
That's
four all. Crucial, two crucial questions coming up. I don't think you're going to get either of them. Who did Arsenal beat in their first FA Cup? It says first FA Cup final. It's not what he means. He means their first FA Cup win in 1930.
Huddersfield?
Yes! Dover scores! He stuck it in! Bang!
Say Huddersfield, because it was...
Harris was going to say Huddersfield, obviously.
Because it was Herbert Chapman's previous club, wasn't it?
Yes, Arsenal's first ever trophy after 44 years of struggle.
Who did we lose to in 1927?
We lost to... Here's one for you, Dover. Who did we lose to in 1927? The Welsh goalkeeper spilled the ball over the line. He claimed his brand new woolen goalkeeping jersey. It was a bit shiny and he spilled it. And from then on, all Arsenal goalkeeping jerseys were washed before they were worn. And he lived with that for the rest of his life because he was Welsh and some people believed that he'd thrown it in the net.
Did they get on Twitter to accuse him of that?
No, if there'd been social media, then he probably would have topped himself. But yes, Cardiff City, that was the only time the Cup's been out of England. So this is your chance,
just to
Damien, to equalise, but it's a difficult question, number 10. How many players did Arsenal use in winning the double in 1971?
13.
Nope.
No, I'm going to say 15.
Nope.
18.
No.
Is it 11?
No.
It's not 11.
Well, 22 then. I was just going to.
No.
Was it
17?
No.
Oh, we're going to go
13, 14, no. 15, 16, 16.
16, yes, he's right. He's equalised.
Oh, anyone can just randomly call out numbers. Well, he's going to get it right eventually, isn't he?
I did try.
He's gone to VAR. Martin's down in the car park. He's had his head kicked in. Someone on a motorbike's wearing his wig. Two girls are laughing.
Oh, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Anyone can do that.
All right, I'm not letting him have it. You're right. It's a scandal.
Unbelievable. This is fixed.
Daniel Maguire there with a quiz. If you want to set us a quiz, an Arsenal quiz, you know, a few questions. There's 10 there. He's done it in a quite nicely laid out in graphics with the answers below in a separate block. Very nicely laid out. Taking a bit of time over it. Daniel there. He's even put the Arsenal badge in on the answer page. So greatly appreciated. Well, we'll answer any Arsenal quiz, especially if all we've got to talk about is a tedious goal against a team that we once used to hate and now we couldn't give a shit about. I mean, they really are something of a laughing stock, and that's all we've got to go on.
But they were going to win the league like 2 weeks ago, weren't they?
They might still win the league. They might still win the league, although, in my view, it simply won't count.
If you had to put some money on it.
Oh, I think Manchester City are going to be
Man
firm.
City are going to win
yeah,
the league.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're absolutely lethal, aren't they? Yesterday they won. They didn't have De Bruyne or anyone. Sterling didn't play. Mahrez, Aguero. Their backup squad is so strong. It's just a bit of a joke with the league, isn't it, really? Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, at least that mob up the road, they're sort of imploded a bit and Harry's injured. So
Harry Kane's hurt himself.
Yeah, they play Brighton.
His annual injuries come.
They play Brighton later on, don't they? Mm-hmm.
They do tonight. You'll know how that went, listener. We don't care. Now, this is Kevin Williams has emailed me. Kevin is Welsh. He's a Liverpool fan. Anyway. He's asked us a question. The email address is tuesdayclubpodcast@gmail.com. So do send us quizzes or questions or anecdotes about Teddy Sheringham to tuesdayclubpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter feed is @notyoubentley. We're up to 9,000 followers, which puts us well in the shadow of the millions and millions of views that people get on YouTube. I'm starting to think maybe we should put this on YouTube. Anyway, Kevin Williams says, it seems the majority of Arsenal fans rate Jack Wilshere more than Aaron Ramsey. Why is this? As a biased Welsh fan, I can't see how it is. I have to say, I think it's probably true.
Well, it's true, but not from me. I would put Aaron Ramsey over Wilshere.
I mean, if you had to pick a team, you know, you've picked to the 11, you're coming down to the last midfield spot, it's between Jack and Rambo. All right, they're both fully fit and playing well. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick?
Oh, I'd go for Rambo.
Would you?
Yeah, I would go for Rambo. I mean, he's scored in cup finals. I think he's got that edge. Yeah, I'd go for Ramsey. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Dee?
I really struggle with it. I'd love them both. Very, very much.
I'd go Super Jack all day long.
You would?
But I think they work.
Super Jack. Super.
They work very well together.
No, they'd never work well together, do you? That was the trouble.
Do you not think?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that we had that when they wanted Cesc to go to Barca, when they wanted him to go back to Barca after the 2010 World Cup. Do you remember?
Oh, God, and they put the shirt on him.
Yeah, and they won the World Cup and they put the shirt on him and they pressured him to go then and the Barca wanted him and all that.
It's in his DNA, all that bullshit.
Arsene wouldn't sell him then and he stayed another season. And then we played them and it definitely seemed to affect Cesc playing against them in the Champions League. He gave a goal away and I don't know, but I felt at the time that they were waiting for Wilshere and Ramsey to really mature and take over in centre mid and be a pair together. But it never seemed to happen for the two of them. And they were always either one had his leg snapped at Stoke or the other one had done something to his ankle and they never seemed to be fit and firing at the same time, really, did they?
No.
I mean, they both were on the pitch in 2014. Wilshere came off the bench and was influential in extra time when we played Hull City, and Rambo got the winning goal. So they shared that together. Wilshere, to me, was a player that I absolutely loved. I mean, whenever he received the ball, it was so exciting to see him always turn, looking forwards, drifting past people, looking for one-twos. He had so much skill and invention. He was a really, really special footballer. And of course, Ramsey did, as you say, scored some terrific goals for us. But, Jack, I love Jack.
Could be frustrating, couldn't he?
Yeah, he did flip a few up and volley them into the clock end when everyone else was looking at him, you know, just saying, give it to Sanchez. Give it to Cazorla. Give it to Ozil. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. But then Jack always took three or four games to sort of get back, didn't he? Get back his sort of form. They were both, it was frustrating with both of them, really, I think, wasn't it?
I think if I could change one thing, or maybe I'm going to say two things in one, but I would have Wilshere and Diaby fully fit and not injured. You know, I mean, when I say not injured, I mean not injured any more regularly than anybody else. Everyone gets a knock here and there. But the massive, massive injuries those two players had, they were so gifted and they really could have been something in football, couldn't they? They really could. It's sort of heartbreaking.
Yes.
So that's Kevin Williams' point. And we've had a chat and we seem to have got 2-1 Rambo. So I'm disappointed.
Is Jack Wilshere at Bournemouth now?
He's back at Bournemouth. Scored a goal in the cup the other day for them. Quite a tidy finish against Crawley, I think, in the cup. So he's back playing in the Championship with Bournemouth. He went to Bournemouth on loan. Didn't need to get his fitness up after one of his injuries. So I just would love him to have three or four seasons without an injury.
Yeah.
Maybe Bournemouth will get up. They're up there. They're in those kind of playoff places at the moment. I think it's Norwich and Swansea. Brentford are still looking for it as well. They got 7 goals yesterday. So they're, you know, maybe they lost their manager and a couple of their best players and they're still up there. So
I didn't know the manager had left because he was...
Well, Dean Smith left, didn't he, and went to Villa.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, that's what I mean, yeah. Let's have a little look to see if there's any more. Oh, here's another Teddy Sheringham one. Christopher Scott has emailed me. About 15 years ago, my dad was playing golf somewhere in Essex when he heard a lot of hacking and swearing coming from the bushes.
As you do in Essex.
from the opposite hole. After a bit of rustling and a few snap twigs, a bush parted. Dear, oh dear. And out popped Eddie Sheringham. He strode directly over to Dad, a complete stranger, and said, "Giz a ball, I've ran out."
Oh, please.
It's the second story we've had where Sherry goes up and demands a golf ball from someone. Dad got a ball from his back, and before he could pass or throw it over, Teddy reached out and snatched it from his hand without a thank you or even a grunt of acknowledgement. Teddy went back into the hedge, never to be seen or heard from again.
Maybe he just collects golf balls. He actually wasn't playing.
It's superb, isn't it? It just comes out of a bush. It's back. He's like a total wanker and goes back in the bush. Dad is a gooner of 71 years and wondering why he gave a ball to that awful man still keeps him up at night to this day. Dad, rest easy, Christopher's dad.
Oh.
You know, you did the right thing. And that's you can only judge your own behaviour. Someone, Jeremy Spinks, has sent me a thing. He's taken the page out of the back of Arsene Wenger's book in which the players who played less than 10 games for Arsenal under Arsene Wenger. I've compiled the names. This is a lockdown.
Yeah, people are losing it now, aren't they?
Really, really hasn't got anything to do. Normally, of a weekend, I'd like to go to the cinema, perhaps even to the local arts centre to see a jazz quartet. But instead, I've compiled the names of the 81 players who made fewer than 10 appearances for Arsenal under Arsene Wenger. And it says something about our lockdown state of affairs that we're prepared to try and guess some of those names.
81!
There are 81 players who made fewer than 10 appearances for Arsenal under Arsene Wenger. I'm curious to see if the panellists, that's you two, could get more than 10 of them. OK, so I'm going to... it's a guessing game, obviously.
Fran Merida.
OK, let's have a look. God, we could be here all night. I can't even move the...
Fran Merida. That sounds like a Euro pop band, doesn't it?
Why won't this... It won't move. I can't make the spreadsheet work. Am I going to have to download the spreadsheet? Open with Google Sheets. OK, here we go. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. I've got a spinning wheel.
OK.
I can tell you that West Ham Liverpool scoreless in the second half.
That's good. That suits us. Do you think when we're all allowed freedom again, I mean, stand-up comedy actors, they're going to get a standing ovation for any old shit they put out, aren't they? Because we're so starved of anything.
I think Ian's hoping, yeah.
you can just walk on the stage and go, hello. And people go, that was marvellous. That was the best I've ever heard.
Is this your way of announcing Dover is back?
No, I just want to watch something, a band, anything. I would... happily watch two Portuguese folk singers at the moment.
Fran Merida's not on the list. He must have played more than 10.
Was he Korean?
Inamoto?
Inamoto? He must. He only played.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, Inamoto. Yes, he's on the list. He's on the list.
He's back. Yeah.
Yes, he's there. Inamoto played less than 10.
Park.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yes, he's there as well. Okay. He's there as well. Yes, he is. One of them scored a goal for West Brom yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about Gnabry?
No. Serge Gnabry. Oh, he surely played more than 10.
He played
quite a lot of games. He was absolutely superb, and we let him go. No, yeah, he's not on there, I'm afraid. No.
Okay, just
the two then?
No.
Kyle Bartley, it was. I was going to Inamoto and Park.
Oh, Yanaris. Yeah,
Yanaris. Yeah, what was his first name?
Nico.
Yes, he's on there. Nico Yanaris is on there.
One.
There's only one. Yes, he's there as well, yes.
Okay.
It's good, you've got four.
He's just coming out with any name, random name now, taking a pun.
One or two of them you'd be surprised about. Here's one you might be surprised about. Played in the 1993 Cup Final at centre-back.
93 cup.
Scored the winning goal.
Well, he won't play for
Linegan.
Us.
Andy Linegan. What? He made four appearances for Arsenal under Arsene Wenger.
No. Wow. You're kidding? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, who knew?
What about that?
Flipping hell, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. A couple of them went on to play for Tottenham.
These sort of sound like youth team.
One's Bentley and one is Rohan Ricketts.
Rohan Ricketts, right.
Yeah, we're not going to get any more of these, are we?
No.
We're not going to get any more of these.
How many would you have got?
Oh, he'd have got all 81. You know what he's like. He knows all that.
Well, Matt Mace is there. I don't know. I know. I really don't think I'd have got many of these. It's only when you even see the names, you know, Julian Gray. I always thought he might be a player. Fantastic, he was left winger. There's Jeffrey in Adelaide on there. Remember Jay Simpson? Jay Simpson.
He went round the leagues, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked like he might be a good striker. Jay Emmanuel Thomas.
Yeah.
Jason Crowe got sent off 30 seconds after coming on. Ian Selly, who played in the 94 Companies Cup final, he made one appearance. Isaac Hayden, who's currently in midfield for
Newcastle.
Is Henry Lansbury.
Oh.
Wow.
Is on there.
Didn't you make up a FIFA PlayStation team, Alan, once, with all Arsenal sort of rejects or, you know,
I played. I think I can't remember what year it was. There was one year with FIFA in about 99 where you could do, you could have a 5-year managerial career. And I'd mastered world class level at this game by now. I was on top of this shit. And I don't know if you remember it, but it was when you could get on the ball and you could highlight attacking players and then pass it to them and then shoot and they would score every time. And I managed Leighton Orient. I took them from League Two. I took them up through the leagues. If you'd started League Two, it means you have one chance at the Champions League. One chance. And my rule was that in the transfer market, I could only sign ex-Arsenal players. Right. Ex-Arsenal players, they had to be. Paolo Vernazza was running the midfield. Of course. Where I really came up trumps was my strikers were Mark Overmars and Nicolas Anelka.
That'd give you an edge.
You could choose a template for your manager. You could have an exotic foreign-looking one. I had a classic sheepskin coat English manager. And Anelka and Overmars scored the goals and we won the European Cup. It was absolutely brilliant.
And this was pre-kids, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
And that was when you were smoking weed as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And your thumb was about 4.5 times the size it is now.
Yeah, I had calluses. So thanks for that email.
Sorry we couldn't get more.
Jeremy Spinks. No, we can't get 10 of those, I'm afraid.
Well, interesting, huh? Very interesting.
Now, do you want to play a bit of Spot the Commentary?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Spot the Commentary coming up. I'm quite pleased with these ones. I'm always wary of Damien on this game because he takes quite an intellectual approach.
As opposed to Keith.
Keith is always more of a gut feeling.
Yes, right, that's true, yes.
Damien's actually trying to work it out. Okay, here's one from the past. Blast from the past.
Arsenal suggesting at the start of the second half they're about to take over. This is Rice. Now, can Wolves survive this? Talbot. Rice. Won it well. Stapleton. Oh, yes! Greg Stapleton! He deserves the goal more than any other player on the field. And just look at the reception.
FA Cup 79.
The
second goal, the header by Frank Stapleton.
No, you got the scorer, but then you were given the scorer by Motti there in the commentary.
Yeah.
It was Frank Stapleton in 1979, but what was the match?
FA Cup final.
It was the FA Cup final.
Not the final. What? Yeah.
What?
Yes. Smashed in a right-footed shot from about 20 yards. Unusual for Frank to score from outside the box, but he drilled it into the bottom corner at Villa Park.
That's Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Wolverhampton Wanderers in the semi-final. Yes, it was. Yes. Dover eventually scrambles in, a ball bouncing around a six-yard box for ages.
Sniffer Dover.
We've gone to VAR and they've said, actually, the game finished 10 minutes ago, but that's in. Yes, Arsenal won 2-0 at Villa Park to get to Wembley, where they famously beat Manchester United. The goals were scored by Frank Stapleton and former Wolves star Alan.
That was on the actually went to that game. It was at the Holt End.
You were in the Holt End.
Yeah, I mean, it was a magnificent stand, wasn't it? Really,
it's a great ground, Villa
Park. Yeah, yeah, big
but
stand.
Yeah, I was in the 4 years later. I was in the Holt End when we lost to Man U. And I might have mentioned on there before, but I stood right at the very back of the whole, and the whole end's divided right down the middle, and it's half Arsenal and half Man U.
Yeah.
And I was right at the very, very back of the whole end with this kind of corrugated fence. And at half time, all these blokes started coming up the back.
I know what you're going to say, because the same thing happened.
And that was where it turns out you went for a piss. Mm. Was against the back fence at the top of the Holt End, and astonishing quantities of people drinking pints and pints and pints and pints of urine just then flooded all the way down, probably by the full time it had reached the pitch.
Well, I can tell you where I was standing, and
rank.
It wasn't at the back, but there was a steady flow, and I went, what the hell is this? And somebody said, have a stab in the dark. Oh, it was horrible. And it was a very steady flow. It wasn't just like a trickle. It's disgusting.
Well, at least we won. We knew it was there.
Yes, yes. Sloshing around in the whole end.
Okay, here we go. Let's try another one. Here we go. I'm going to give you this one.
One back by Vieira. Edu. In for Henry. Thierry Henry! Just a delight. You can have your Zinedine Zidane, your Pavel Nedved. Arsenal would swap him for no one.
Nice bit of commentary there, I like that. That's
2001?
No.
Right, so you normally like a theme. So
no, it was the Invincible season. The Invincible season.
Against Man United at home.
No, at Highbury. Third goal and a 3-0 win.
Against Man United.
No.
Oh, his theme has...
Yeah, he's So I did you know, this time, mate. He's taking you off track now.
No, there's the theme's there. Themes. Staring you in the face.
It wasn't against Man United.
The first one wasn't against Man United either.
Oh, it's Wolves!
Yes!
Of course.
It's against Wolves. Okay. Sorry. One all. Okay, here's the last one. Here we go, the last one.
Wolves.
Chatham. Flag has stayed down. Sylvain Wiltor with so much to aim at. A moment to remember for Fabrice Fabregas, the youngest scorer in the famous history of Arsenal Football Club.
Cesc against Wolves in the FA Cup.
And the League Cup.
League Cup, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
2002?
No, actually, I think it was the same season. I think it was the Invincible season. Anyway, it was the fifth goal in a 5-1 win against Wolves. Fabregas was 16 years old. That was his first goal for Arsenal. It made him the youngest goal scorer ever for Arsenal. I think that record still stands, doesn't it? I don't think Jack beat that. Do you want to have this little stab at the lineup from a League Cup tie? It's tricky, obviously, because I mean, I can give you a clue. There's no Bergkamp, there's no Henry, there's no Campbell. But there's it's an interesting side. It's basically the backup players and a couple of senior ones. So start off in goal. Who was the backup goalie to Jens Lehmann in the Invincible season?
That would be Wright. Was it his name? Wright?
No, not Richard Wright. It
wasn't Almunia, was it?
Not Almunia, no.
Well, it wouldn't be Fabianski, but...
No. Graham Stack. Graham Stack, yes. At right back, very, very quick. He had a brother who played as well, English right back.
Yes.
Aaron
Piss.
Piss, yes. He was a great player, wasn't he?
Brothers, they were... Yes. Not the Willocks.
Not the Willocks, Chris Hoy.
Justin Hoyt.
Yes, Justin
Hoyt. Brothers.
Left back, an 18-year-old French boy.
Gael Clichy.
The centre backs, I don't think you'll get. One was Greek and one was American.
American? God, I didn't know we had an American.
You'll never get him. No.
Stathis Tavlaridis and Frank Simek.
Wow.
Jesus, I don't remember him at all.
Okay, we'll move into midfield.
Cesc Fabregas.
Cesc Fabregas is correct.
Edu?
Not Edu. One absolute club legend, one of the greatest players of all time.
Ray Parlour?
Well, yeah, could have been, but no.
Vieira.
Yeah, Patrick Vieira played. Blimey. Fascinating, really. He put Patrick Vieira in there to make sure everyone was organised. And the other one was an English, super talented English player wearing a 37 shirt.
David Bentley.
He played in midfield along with Cesc and Patrick Vieira. And then we had three forwards. Two of them... big names in the first team, but stepping down for the League Cup tie.
Sylvain Wiltord.
Sylvain Wiltord. Hi-ho, Sylvain Wiltord.
And it's
One of them was an enormous man.
Oh, the not the beast. What was he called?
Not Baptiste.
No, Carnu. Oh. And the other one was a French striker who never, ever scored.
Cabadier-War?
No. Jérôme?
Ali Adier.
And what's fascinating about this game was that he actually got two goals before he was substituted and replaced by the legendary Czech player, Michael Papadopoulos. And we had an Icelandic player came on, Ólafur Skúlason came on for Justin Hoyt, and Ryan Smith, who's quite promising for a while, came on for Bentley. Unused subs were Quincy Owusu-Abe.
Quincy.
And Rami Sharman. And looking at the Wolves lineup, the only really notable name, and there's a few you'll know, like Kenny Miller and Nathan Blake, but the really notable name is Paul Ince, played centre mid.
Really? Wow.
For Wolves, who were managed that night by Dave Jones. So there you are.
I'll tell you what, though, we've got Villa and Wolves coming. I don't fear them now. 5 weeks ago, I think we got stuffed by them, but I think we can get a result against these two teams.
It was all those Sunday nights, wasn't it?
That's
we
true.
We played them on Sunday nights. Who else did we? We played Leicester as well.
That was on a
Yeah, and they were all that sort of late Sunday night, and it didn't suit us, did it? And we were terrible. Seems so long ago, though.
Well, we could do with the points. I mean, I quite fancy we did win at Wolves last time, didn't we? We beat them in some period of lockdown. I can't really remember. So perhaps we'll do all right there. Villa is quite tricky at the moment. They're very tasty going forwards. I could perhaps we'd take a point from that. I don't know. But if
I think we should
go and beat them.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully Aubameyang, he's got the problems. Hopefully if that gets resolved, that'll be good to see him come back. I think he'll come back refreshed, you know.
Now, powerful rumours this week about a couple of high-profile Premier League footballers fighting the tabloids for being outed as gay, and it's shameful, really, and that still feels necessary that footballers should want to protect themselves from. I don't know quite know what. There's a real fear of what might happen for the first Premier League footballer to come out. But someone was saying to me the other day on a Zoom call, surely this is the moment. I mean, if the fear is. If the fear is abuse from the stands, then there's no one in the stands.
I know, but what?
And I really do think, I don't know what you feel like, I feel like if an Arsenal player came out as gay, that the Arsenal support would completely back that player.
Of course.
And would self-police to silence anyone, any lone voice of disrespect, and would completely be behind anybody who came out. And it seems so outdated. We've got people in so many other sports now who are openly gay and out, and it seems a real shame. But that's what I've heard this week. I've heard that there are two high-profile Premier League players
really
trying to keep it quiet, and it seems sickening to me that there can't be that still happening.
It is sad, but why do the newspapers feel that they need to reveal this? This is up to the individual.
It's just what they're trying to sell papers.
It's disgusting.
That is all they're trying to do,
is
sell papers.
It's horrible. It is horrible.
They're trying to sell papers, and they like it when high-profile people are keeping a secret of any kind that they can reveal.
Yeah.
But it feels really sad. It really does. It's 2021. I mean, as if there's not enough to worry about. I was thought about it watching Match of the Day because they're
Rashford.
Making a bit of a thing about LGBT plus sports figures and trying to celebrate them and offer support and solidarity and so on.
But, you know, we're living in an age where Marcus Rashford's got abuse, apparently, on social media. I mean, it is sad. So you can understand why a gay player wouldn't want to come out. You know, it's none of this thing is policed correctly, is it, though? You know, the abuse people get on the social media thing, you know, and it's horrible, you know.
Yeah, wow. Well, I would say there must be an end to anonymity on social media, in my view. Gents, yes. We have Liverpool winning comfortably now.
Oh,
a couple of goals up at West Ham. I know you fancy us for the top four, keeper. I can see. I feel like these teams are slightly disappearing into the distance. And we've got this game against Benfica coming up, which is our last hurrah, really. We've been knocked out sort of pretty lamely of the League Cup and the FA Cup. Didn't really show up in either of those defeats. And the season's really petering out. I know there's a slight feeling of, ooh, we won a few in a row and we're on the up. But I'm not feeling very up when we were eighth last year. This year we're 10th.
Yeah.
Do you not?
Are you really feeling like, woohoo, it's great to be an Arsenal fan. It's great to be alive. I'm feeling like, oh, God, we're playing again Tuesday. Have I got a watch?
No, really?
No.
Maybe that's something.
I'm clinging to Damien's raft of optimism here. And I think there...
It's a raft now.
Yeah, it's a raft.
It's not even a sword anymore. Yeah. It's a dinghy. It's an upturned dinghy.
Come on. Plenty of room, Keith. Come on board. Adrift. Raft of optimism. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I think I'm liking the way we're playing. I know it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a while, but I feel like we're heading in the right direction. We've got getting rid of people. We're getting people in. Smith Rowe, Saka, Kieran Tierney. There's lots, you know, Partey just coming in. There's lots to be excited about. It's going to take a while, but yeah, I'm...
And we'll stuff Benfica when we play them in Geneva or wherever it is.
Well, I'm with Damien on this, and I think if we could keep the result... If we beat Wolves and Villa, and I think we've just got to keep going, because if we let it peter out and then the teams above us do drop points and we go, oh, we just missed out on top four, I think we've got to keep going, and I think that's the hard part. We have got to keep going.
Yeah, well, and as you say, we play everyone above us, so we have got the chance to... take points off everybody and maybe we'll get up to, you know, ninth or...
No, come on, let's rally the troops here. There's the sword of optimism, the shield
this season is a bit of a write-off anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, I'm optimistic about whatever happens next season. We'll have a proper pre-season, hopefully.
Hopefully we'll all be going as well. That'd
all
nice,
of this is it? A bonus. All of, you know, this is it's a strange time, but it's a good time for us to be working out our identity. Sorry, that sounds a bit cheesy, but you know what I mean.
Listen, once the vaccination program kicks in,
the way Arteta wants us to play.
Yeah,
and everyone
kicking it in the goal, not letting it in your goal.
If you want to put it like that.
I'm sorry for being slightly cynical.
Slightly.
The new manager turning up as if he's invented the football.
It's the Arteta revolution.
Yeah,
come on,
the Arteta revolution. Kick it in their goal. Don't let anyone kick it in your goal. You lot up there, kick it in that goal. You lot back there, don't let it in your goal. On pain of death. And if you've got a free kick or a throw-in, go forwards. This is the philosophy of double European Cup winner Brian Clough.
There you go.
All right, gents, up the Arsenal.
Bye.